Morning Show, Sports 95.9 The Fan. Justin and Ailish back at it. Happy New Year to all. I hope you have a happy holiday season. It's good to be back. Got the Billy Talent going. Josh knows. It's been a few days since I heard it. Actually, did hear it playing at the World Juniors in Halifax because they got the audio going during between whistles, and I heard it. And I thought that's why Canada was winning.
Little controversy over their goal song. Hey, you hear that?
What do you mean?
Picked "Heave Away," which is a maritime sort of like nod homage.
Why is there?
But they wanted something else. They wanted more. I don't know exactly what the song was, but completely different. The coach is like, "Nah, we're gonna."
They wanted "Hey Baby."
It was like a little cooler than "Hey Baby," I think. But they're just like, "No, we're gonna ask you for your request, but we're not gonna use it."
Goal songs are a hot topic in this city, Justin. Don't bring it up.
I know. Sometimes you gotta save players from their self. And I think they picked the perfect song for the situation they're in. So,
well, we've got the perfect guest to break down the Winter Classic and the approaching trade deadline. It's our insider, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Frank Saravelli, NHL insider and president of hockey content at DailyFaceoff.com. How's it going, Frank?
Happy New Year, guys.
Happy New Year to you as well. Did you get some time off, or are you always on the grind?
No, I actually was able to put the phone down for a little bit. The holiday roster freeze kind of helps. And yeah, it was nice to get a break. And as you mentioned, trade deadline 2 months today. Oh. And this is when the grind starts. So I did have a little bit of a case of Sunday scaries, a little anxiety, because this is when the rubber meets the road in my world.
I could sense Ailish's Sunday scaries after I think she had about 12 days between shows, and she was like, I could feel it through the phone or the computer, however we were communicating.
It's
a real thing.
It is a real thing. I'm telling you, my wife was like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, the trade deadline's coming. It's like that scene in Game of Thrones when they're like, winter is coming. And I'm this is it for me.
Okay, so does it just begin today? How much does the Ryan O'Reilly and Vladimir Tarasenko news shift what you think is going to happen down the stretch here?
I don't know that it shifts it much. In fact, I was talking to a couple teams yesterday to get a sense of what the injury might mean. And in an odd way, for someone like Ryan O'Reilly, given the injury, that it's a broken foot. It's not like it's a knee injury or some soft tissue injury where there's some question as to what it'll be like when he gets back. Usually with a broken foot, it's pretty cut and dry. There's a healing process, and then once it's good to go, he's fine and there's no looking back. So there's not much concern over the injury, one. And two, teams were like, well, this just means we're getting a rested Ryan O'Reilly. So if he is indeed available, which I believe he will be, given the state of the Blues and given what these next 6 weeks are likely to look like, unless they go on some kind of magical tear, given that they're missing two of their best players in what's already been a really tough season, I'd fully expect someone like O'Reilly, and we were already thinking Tarasenko was going to be out there, that in some ways the injury is not going to impact the deadline, provided that he's back slightly before it.
I was wondering, we talked to Cam Jansen earlier on in the show, and I'm wondering how instructive the Alex Pietrangelo situation was when looking at this scenario. Like, we saw Doug Armstrong sort of draw the line with a guy that, you know, helped lead them to a Stanley Cup, but who was also like, his absence is clearly being felt and has been felt, but he's not willing to bend. And I feel like if he decides this is the path, I mean, it feels like these guys don't have a future in St. Louis because he's not willing to overspend or pay too much to just keep the core around or the legacy core around. Do you think like Doug Armstrong's sort of the perfect person to initiate a fire sale in that he's pretty hard on you know, the guys who've been around for a while and unbending when it comes to giving them all the dollar in the term in the world?
Yes and no, because the Pietrangelo situation is really different in the sense that he played such hardball in the months leading up to free agency that in the last, I don't know, the timeline is a little fuzzy because it was a little while ago, but in the last 72 hours before free agency, Doug Armstrong essentially buckled on every term that he had drawn a line on, whether it was the term and dollars or whether it was the clauses in the contract that he said that he wouldn't give. But it had gone on so long and there had been so much hardball played that essentially the way it factored for Pietrangelo was he just goes, I've had enough. I'm leaving. Like I wanted to be a Blue. I was ready to sign here long term and keep my family here. And this is the way this process unfolded. I'll just go play somewhere else. And so I think they were a little bit shocked in terms of him ultimately walking, because they thought that if they did capitulate that they'd be able to get it done, and it never happened. And it's left this team in a really tough spot. And I think when you look back to this past summer, they've been in a difficult position really since I think the decision to not bring David Perron back changed this team's season. You know, it's not just the chemistry that Perron had on the power play. It's also the chemistry that he had with O'Reilly. You look at the way that this season started, he's really struggled. How many times has David Perron left the St. Louis Blues and all of a sudden, you know, they trade for him again? Three times. There ain't going to be a fourth.
They keep a stall for him there.
Well, they should have. And the truth is they got down to the decision-making process of basically Nick Leddy or David Perron, and they chose Nick Leddy on their back end, mm-hmm. probably to compensate for still the loss of Alex Pietrangelo. And look, they still haven't recovered from that decision either. So is Doug Armstrong well equipped to manage this deadline? Of course he is. What I love about Doug Armstrong and watching him work is that he just is able to cut the cord and make a decision and move on. Too many, I feel like watching this league, too many general managers are scared to let players leave. And in this case, I like his decision-making process at the deadline. When you think that his team is out of it, he sees the same thing. And whether it's trading Paul Stastny when their team was still a couple points out, or Kevin Shattenkirk another year, and taking those picks and then packaging them for something else later to improve their team, it's been fun to watch.
Not only are those names, Ryan O'Reilly and Vladimir Tarasenko, in the conversation, but it seems like maybe a Barbashev or a Mikola as well as someone that could be shipped out. What's the interest level on both sides of maybe anyone inquiring or the Blues maybe being interested in putting those as trade chips now too?
I think the Blues are probably open to having a lot of different conversations, because once you lose players of this type of caliber with O'Reilly and Tarasenko and how difficult they are to replace, you're probably bound to take a couple steps backwards in the short term. And I wonder if you then use that to sort of open yourself up to larger conversations about exactly where this team is heading, who the core pieces are, and frankly, who aren't. That's sometimes the tougher decision to make. And so, I think it's going to be a really interesting next 60 days for the St. Louis Blues in terms of where they're heading.
With this news, I believe on Monday, with both these players being put on the IR, did Bo Horvat's stock go up, change at all, or go down?
It's always been going up this season. It's been on a constant. If you're looking on Apple stocks, he's in the green. That's how magical of a year he's had. And I've seen a lot of discourse in the last couple weeks about people saying, well, if we trade for Bo Horvat, what are the odds that he replicates the type of production that he's had? You know, when you're signing Bo Horvat to a long-term contract, first off, everyone knows it's going to be expensive. What does that number start with? Is it an 8? Has he pushed it to a 9 with his play? And 26 goals in 36 games, you know, can he do this again? And I've always been pretty skeptical in terms of players having outlier seasons when it comes to a large track record already in place. And I was one of those people, full admission here, that with Tage Thompson heading into the season, I was like, oof, that contract, like, it's a huge bet to make, you know, given that what we saw from Tage Thompson over the first, you know, 150 or 200 games of his career, to then think that he could go out and duplicate what he did last year. I was so wrong on that front. So take what I'm saying with a grain of salt. But I think what we've seen from Bo Horvat, with the changes made in his game, and specifically with the work from Adam Oates, that I think a lot of this is highly duplicable. and that he's in a spot where I think his game has totally changed. And I think the work that he's done with Adam Oates, frankly, with the contract he's getting or will get, his life has changed.
Well, at one point, these big names, Ryan O'Reilly and Bo Horvat, were at least somewhat circled with the Maple Leafs. Maybe it was just us driving that narrative or not, but it seems like maybe the direction the Leafs are going seems to be a bit more of little moves and less big swings. And I think it was Elliot on 32 Thoughts of Podcast that initially brought that up, but wondering if you're hearing a little bit more clarity in which direction the Leafs might be going.
Honestly, I haven't. And I think part of that is because I don't think the Leafs have made up their mind. Mm. I don't think they're fully set on what their thought process is over these next 60 days. I think they probably have some general ideas, but nothing's written in stone because I think everyone's kind of looking toward, are we totally sure that this is what our group is going to look like just from a pure injury sense? This season has been so topsy-turvy on that front that you really want to have a good idea of what you think you have in your lineup come opening night of the playoffs. And I think they're closer to getting an idea of that, but still kind of holding their breath thinking, hey, we may need to pivot at the last second. We want to be prepared and have all the opportunity to do so if we need to.
Yeah, it seems like right now if they made a move, it could backfire in that just something else could happen. And if you look at this lineup right now, it's like, yeah, it can be improved, but there's no like real obvious area of need. Cali Yarncroke moving up to that second line has played really well. Maybe Tavares hasn't been, you know, as good as he was over the last month when compared to the first month or 6 weeks. But that should all settle itself. Like if you're looking for a spot, that's the key, I guess. You're searching for it. You're searching for a spot. All of a sudden they have eight defensemen who are viable and the lineup looks pretty good right now. But again, as you mentioned, a lot can change. The Winter Classic was yesterday.
Justin, wait, I wanted to stop you because I wanted to add a quick thought. I know what everyone's saying about, you know, eight viable defensemen and the way this team has played. And I know what all the underlying numbers say. I don't care what anyone says. I still believe this team needs a true defensive defenseman. They need a defender to add to this mix, someone that's going to help beef up the back end. I still believe that's the case.
Yeah, I and I'm with you, but I also feel like they are who they are. Like, they can add that player or they can look for that player, but it feels like it's going to be tough. It feels like it's going to be tough to get the exact right fit, someone who's going to for sure change things. Like if they went out and say,
it doesn't need to be someone that's a grand slam upper deck home run.
No, it doesn't. But well, okay. So who are you thinking about right now then?
Well, I think maybe not necessarily in terms of name, but in terms of style of play, mm-hmm. I believe someone like Vladislav Gavrikov in Columbus is an ideal fit, and he's going to be expensive. He's going to be first round pick plus territory. And you could make the argument when it gets to deadline day, whether that makes sense or not for the Leafs, given where they're at and given what their health situation is like, but stylistically, someone that can chew up minutes, someone that is not going to be panicked on the forecheck. I really think that's sort of in the vein of what the Leafs need.
Yeah, I think that helps sort of illustrate my point, which is, okay, you got what you got. And could you upgrade on, say, Justin Hall? Yeah, I think Gavrikov would be sort of that upgrade on Justin Hall. But then you're thinking about it, well, Justin Hall has been really good for the last 6 weeks or whatever. And you kind of get lost in that, but then you realize things do change and the game is different and Justin Hall might run into the same mistakes that Justin Hall's run into over the last little bit. So I guess they have to identify what is working right now that may not work when it really matters.
I guess my point is, yeah, don't lull yourself into, you know, thinking that you have this security blanket based on the way the team has played over the mm-hmm. last 2 months, because things do change. This exact time last year, not to cause any memories for anyone, but we were talking about Jack Campbell winning the Vezina.
Yeah.
I mean, stuff happens. It just does. And that's not me being panicked or, you know, whatever, but I think you need to be prepared for any sort of situation. And I'm sure those are exactly the types of scenarios that the Leafs are working themselves through in terms of, you know, what if this happens? What if that happens? As you get to, you know, pro and amateur scouting meetings coming up, this is the types of conversations they're going to be having in these next couple of weeks.
And in the same way, in the same vein, rather, you could upgrade on Cale Yarncroke in that second line for sure. It might mess up the chemistry on the third line that they have right now, but you're bumping players down, and maybe that is the best thing. They just got to figure out exactly what they need or what they're going to pursue and what the prices are going to be, because if there's any stumbling block, I think it would be, you know, their prospect capital and their futures capital and the appetite to spend more of that, even though this is a pretty do-or-die situation here for the Maple
Leafs.
I
don't think you worry about any of those things in terms of futures and what our prospect pool looks like and worrying and losing sleep over this pick and that pick. As much risk as there is in disrupting the chemistry that's in place, one injury could kill that chemistry too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think you do whatever is necessary at any point to extinguish the demons of playoffs past.
And if it is a player like Gavrikov, it's not going to cost you, you know, the world. If it's a Bo Horvat, it might cost you the world. And we'll see what their appetite is on that spectrum. To the Winter Classic, Boston gets another win. They don't have much concern when it comes to their roster composition right now. What's your take on the Winter Classic nowadays? Still excited for it? The aesthetic was beautiful. The game, maybe not so much?
Well, the game is never really ever that good. It's always sort of choppy, and there's a lot, you know, sort of goes into trying to get some strong flow in a game like that, and there wasn't really any right from the hop last night at the Winter Classic. I think for a while I've sort of had the jaded sports writer approach of, man, like, this is tired. Like, we're now going back to Fenway Park again. I was at the first one in 2010, covered that. And Patrice Bergeron, you hear in the Bruins, this is his fourth outdoor game and Winter Classic. And you're like, okay, we're now going back to the same venues we used to hit. And so it's still beautiful. They changed the layout of the ice in terms of where it was in the ballpark. And that's great. And it looked cool. And I've sort of been like, hey, they need to do something a little different. So I'm excited to see them go out to Seattle for Kraken Golden Knights next year at T-Mobile Park. And as much as I've had the sort of jaded sports writer approach, like, all right, let's do something a little different, I did kind of caught me on social media the day before. And you see the reaction from the players as their kids step onto the ice for their family skate. And I was like, this is all worth it. Like, they're, you see that family component to it, how much it means to the players. It may not mean much to anyone outside of those two markets, but for them, and the way that this also sort of breaks up the monotony of an 82-game season, I think it's still pretty special.
Yeah, you mentioned Seattle, Vegas, next year. There's a Heritage Classic as well, Battle of Alberta Outdoors. Is just changing the locations and having a bit more variety with teams, is that enough of a change, or is there something they can do to refresh it? Because I'm in the same boat. I feel like, oh, okay, this is happening again. There seems like there's so many every year where I just lose track. Like, all of a sudden one happens and there was like no marketing, and we forget that it was about to be around the corner. This one obviously gets a lot more attention, but is there a solution, you think, to make this a bit more refreshed?
I was actually thinking, Ailish, from a news breaking perspective, as you know, I put in air quotes, insider.
You're our insider. Brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus.
Sometimes I hate the term insider. But I was thinking, like, just, we used to like fight to get that scoop. Like, it was like, oh my mm-hmm. God, where's the Winter Classic going to be? Like, everyone was always looking for information. And I could be wrong, and I have no idea what Elliot or anyone else was doing, but I didn't even try to figure out where the 2024 Winter Classic would be, because it was like, no one really, it's not moving the needle anymore. No one cares. What's the way to spice it up? I understand from a pure commercial and ticket sales perspective that the Lake Tahoe thing that they did without fans or limited fans is maybe not all that appealing to the league. I was more excited for that, and I thought the views and everything, the way it was presented, was so much cooler than any of the ones in the last 10 years or so. I'd love to see them go try something different and outdoorsy and special, even if it means a lack of commercial success, so to speak. I know that's expensive and probably not in the NHL's interest, but that's what really got me excited.
TNT's involvement has given, I think, a little bit of a refresher to it. I feel like, you know,
they had like 20 people there yesterday.
Yeah,
it was not exactly like 20 on-air talent.
It was a big deal. It was a big deal. And one of the, and you know, I think that helps because you get, if it's the same thing over and over, you do the same things work, and maybe it gets a little bit stale that way. But I think TNT did a decent job. And one of the conversations they had on one of their panels was Mount Rushmore of hockey, and Sidney Crosby's name came up. How many heads need to be on your Mount Rushmore for Sidney Crosby to be included?
First off, there can only be four heads on Mount Rushmore. that's it. And so Sidney Crosby makes my Mount Rushmore right now.
Four heads?
Yeah, I think I have him right now at number four.
Behind?
I think I go Gretzky, Lemieux. This is the tough one. Is it or Howe? And then Crosby. But I'd probably go Gretzky, Lemieux, or, and then Crosby.
So what's the rationale for Crosby?
Well, the sustained greatness over the course of his career has been incredible. To watch what he's doing at this age, the back-to-back Stanley Cups and Conn Smythes, the fact that he was able to get back to the level post-concussion, like, frankly, even watching this contract play out, I don't think he thought that he was going to be healthy enough to see the end of this deal. It's amazing. He's only earning $3 million a season starting now in these last 2 years of the deal. That goes to show you that he didn't think that he was going to be playing this long. The sustained greatness, he's carried this team on his back the last 6-7 years. And even in seasons that have been shortened or he's had injury, he's still just as good, just as competitive, just as consistent. And to see that over the course of, I don't know, approaching 1,200 games has been pretty incredible.
Yeah, and that golden goal obviously puts him on ours a little bit more special here in Canada. So I'm not in disagreement at all with that. I think that you've
but
got
here's the thing. Here's my spicy take on the Mount Rushmore. Is that I think when it's all said and done, I think Connor McDavid's going to be in the number one spot.
How about Connor Bedard?
The number one, the number one spot.
Yes, I think when it's all said and done, Connor McDavid goes down as the greatest player ever.
Wow.
He may not hold all the records playing in a totally different era, but I think what he's doing right now is so incredibly special. And this is a, what he's having this year is a Gretzky type year in 2022, 2023.
Okay, two questions off that. Can he win the Hart Trophy without making the playoffs? And can he be number one without winning a Stanley Cup?
Well, he's probably not going to be number one without winning a Stanley Cup. So I think he's going to get one. I think, in fact, it's going to be multiple. Can he win the Hart Trophy without making the playoffs? History would...
Oh, we lost him. Just about to get the
everyone
answer
else
to.
In the league.
Oh, Frank, sorry.
Frank,
I think we lost
you for about 10 seconds. So if you could restart your answer on whether he can win the Hart without...
Okay, so did you hear the part where I said I think he's going to win multiple cups?
Yeah.
Okay, so then can he win the Hart without making the playoffs? I would say yes, based on the edge that he's had over the rest of the field. Think about this. He has a chance to win the NHL's triple crown this year, goals, assists, and points. Only five players, I believe, in NHL history have ever done that, and he's got a real opportunity. The guy that he's going to have to stave off in the assist category is Kucherov, but he's got a 5-goal edge and a 15-point edge and is tied for the lead in assists.
Yeah, this is the year. I mean, with the context, too, of him having one taken away by Taylor Hall, like, there's no excuse to not give him the Hart Trophy if they don't make the playoffs. If he wins the Triple Crown, as you mentioned, like, he's just clearly been the best player in hockey by maybe the widest margin that he's shown in his career. I know he won unanimously 2 years ago, but his level right now is unmatched, and I think it would be a crime to take that from him just because his team, and more specifically, maybe his goaltending and defense, can't hold up.
Well, and here's the thing. I fully agree with you, but in an odd way, we don't talk about it because we've run out of superlatives to use.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Frank, it's the new year and looking ahead at 2023. What are you most looking forward to storyline-wise following this rest of this year, which is a full year ahead.
Well, there's a lot to get to. The trade deadline, as we talked about, is going to be such a big part of it in terms of storylines and narratives, where everyone ends up when the dust settles. So much of what's going to happen this year runs through Chicago with what happens with Patrick Kane and Jonathan Taves, and potentially the end of one of the most, or probably the most successful era in team history. I'm really curious to see who ends up landing the next NHLPA executive director job. That probably should be decided before the end of the regular season. And I think that's going to have a huge impact on what not just league and PA relations are like, but really, I think partly where this sport ends up going over the next 10 years could be hinging on the next executive director. So that's going to be a big one. And this summer with the cap going up, you know, how much and how quickly, that's really the question that is going to determine a lot of the activity levels for these 32 teams. And there's a lot of teams that are waiting and ready to go, and they need the green light. They need the clearance in order to make it happen. They need the jet fuel.
All right, since you're throwing out spicy takes unprompted, we had Cam Jansen on earlier, which we mentioned, and we asked him for a hot take. He said the New Jersey Devils will win the Stanley Cup. Do you have a hot take for us before we sign off?
The New Jersey Devils win the Stanley. Has he watched them the last few weeks?
That was a bit of a...
Or is that just a former
a hot,
Devil?
Spicy take.
That was a former Devil doing former Devil things.
See, this isn't that spicy, but if you had told me this before the season, I would have said you're absolutely insane. The Florida Panthers will miss the playoffs.
Yeah. That Justin just
I said they'll be 30 points worse this year, and they're on track for it, I think.
They may be worse than that. Mm-hmm. They're on pace for 80.
Yeah, they're brutal.
Yikes.
They had 122 points last year. That's a 40-point drop.
Not a great time to be a Florida Panthers fan unless you just like their reverse retro jerseys, which is about all they have going
for you. If you're a Leaf fan,
yes.
If you're a Leaf fan, you're going, hey, that's one less team we have to worry about in the Atlantic.
That's true. Frank, appreciate all the insight today. You laid out a lot of good things to look forward to in 2023, so we're excited to keep talking to you weekly about those. So thanks for joining us, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys. Have a good one.
That was Frank Saravelli, our insider, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit donvalleynorthlexus.com.
So Sidney Crosby on the Mount Rushmore now. Mm-hmm. Connor McDavid to be leading the Mount Rushmore in his eyes at
that
the end of his career.
That was a spicy take.
Which means, I guess, Sidney Crosby would be bumped unless Sidney Crosby makes, you know, cements his place further, I guess. Mm-hmm. Would Sid be on yours right now?
God, I don't know, Justin. I need some time to...
You don't know. Gut feel.
Investigate.
Knee jerk.
No.
We're not going to hold you to it.
I don't think so.
He's not on yours.
Not at this current moment.
He's on mine.
I like to evaluate when the career is done.
Okay.
So circle back in a couple of years.
I feel like we have to live in our moment a little bit. Yeah. Is he like, did he leave the greatest mark ever historically on hockey? I don't really know. I don't know if you can compare him to Gordie Howe, but he's the hockey player who's meant the most to my life. He authored the biggest moment of my life. He's the most, he's the biggest winner I've seen in my lifetime. So how could he not be on that list? And I think when it comes to McDavid, he's going to have to do more than just be the greatest talent we've ever seen to be on that list. Like, you have to win.
Okay. So
you have to win to be on that level.
That's where, what does Mount Rushmore mean to you? Is it the best or is it the most meaningful?
Just like,
see,
the greatest, the goats, okay. The greatest ever.
Okay. Well, then maybe.
And I feel like hockey is, you know, it's about winning. It's about more than just individual stuff. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, the guy who's helped bring two Olympic gold medals, scoring the winning goal at one, three Stanley Cups, two of which came back to back, like, Crosby has done the winning.
Well, if it has to do with heart and who you love, I could certainly see
it
him.
It can be about that.
He's starting to carve. I see the chisel.
He's chiseling it
and
out.
And the stone. First of all, how do they make Mount Rushmore? That's crazy.
It is crazy.
Has anyone seen that in real life? I'd love to. Does it exist, or is it like a
it's almost
mirage?
Like it's almost taken off. Yeah, it almost feels like a mirage. Like,
it,
that can't
you know
exist. This is
I've
just like a concept.
National Treasure?
I've never seen it.
What?
Movie?
It's such a good movie.
Oh.
And there's like, there's something hidden in Mount Rushmore, and it goes to get it. No spoiler alert. It's a good movie.
Where was it hit?
Hidden. You'll have to watch. But that's like the first time.
Nostril? I'm going Nostril. Where is it?
Go watch it, and you'll find out. All right. We got the Wake and Rake next. $5.90, $5.90 for your selections. It's returning. And we will try to start the new year on a winning note. That's next on the Fan Morning Show with Justin and Ailish. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
All right, we haven't talked much about the holiday break. But I got to see the sporting event of the century live in person. Mm-hmm. A Sudbury Friday night OHL matchup between Sudbury Wolves and the North Bay Battalion.
I mean, that's a perfect matchup, isn't it?
Absolute.
Are that the two
rivalry.
Northernmost teams?
They the Sioux? The Sioux? I think that's more north.
Is it?
It's like a little bit around.
That's this
whatever.
Is your
They're
territory.
Up there,
this
buddy.
Is your territory.
I don't have the map in front of me, but I got to witness it live. The Sudbury Wolves upset the Battalion. It was
upset? Are you sure it was an upset?
Yeah.
The Battalion good?
Yeah.
I Sudbury's gave up on the Battalion once they left Brampton.
Not great. It was an upset.
The only team I played for.
It was a
Brampton Battalion.
Wow.
Well, all the kids in Brampton
in
play
OHL?
For the Battalion. We could fake it. We all had Battalion bags. Oh, I played for the Battalion.
Oh, no big deal.
They were the worst. We got the worst jerseys.
I must say, watching that sporting event, there is no worse jersey in sport.
Yeah, I wore that for 10 years.
It's revolting.
It's bad.
How do you watch
we
that
got,
and not
we
want
got
to vomit?
We got black Battalion jerseys in our last
sick.
Year, and they were awesome.
Who picked the color scheme? Like, I get it. The Battalion, whatever. Like, no.
It's trying to be different.
It's
I mean,
gross.
It is, you know, camo.
No.
Ish. Color. Anyway,
so I saw...
You were right under the dog.
Buddy, I was...
Or the wolf.
That was one of the most fun games that I... Like, I didn't know what to expect. Got the Sudbury family roots. I'm up there shoveling snow all day long. I thought, well, I'm going to go enjoy myself Friday night. What else is there to do in Sudbury? And it was a hell of a game. I actually really had a blast. So underrated the Sudbury Wolves experience, but... The Wolf.
What's
which,
like the chatter around in that rink?
Oh, it's gritty.
Is it really entertaining?
It's so much fun. I had a blast, honestly. It is a fun experience. The people are wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's you're right there in the heart of Sudbury with all the folk. And the Wolf, so if you've never seen it.
I can't believe how old that barn looks.
Okay, the barn is old, but it's got character. I love
well, yeah,
an old
I
barn.
I love an old barn too, but it is also the Ontario Hockey League.
Yes, it is. And there certainly could be some upgrades made to it, but it's got the heart and soul of an old barn.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, if you haven't seen what happens in Sudbury, there's this wolf on a string, on a wire, that when the wolves
menacing
score,
wolf.
It comes ripping out on above the ice.
Like a little zip line.
On a little zip line, like you're at... like the rainforest in St. Lucia, and this wolf comes ripping down and there's a huge siren and then this like burst of smoke comes out. And I knew it was there because I sat underneath it kind of on purpose to be a part of the experience.
On purpose? You knew where it was going to be?
Well, it's in the corner. What do you think it's going to be? It doesn't change spots. It's bolted over there.
I mean, that's like you knew it was going to be there. So and, you purposely got seats
okay,
below it.
It wasn't sold out so I could move around. Anyway, okay. So they scored their first goal of the game, and this thing comes flying out and my neck ripped around because I kind of forgot in the moment that this wolf was going to start flying. It was amazing. Honestly, I had so much fun. If you haven't experienced the Sudbury Wolves home game, but that wolf is, he's seen some things. I'll tell you that. That
oh,
wolf
yeah.
has been around. I posted a photo of the wolf on Twitter and so many stories, like, I don't know, the tweet kind of blew up. I was like, I didn't realize so many people had been to the Sudbury Wolves game. Anyway, there's like 200 responses of people talking about their experience at Wolves games, and it was just fun. I felt like I was a part of the community.
We'll have to ask Kipper about the wolf.
Oh, Kipper
North
knows
Bay
the
guy.
Wolf.
Sure, he's had some encounters with the wolf.
Yeah, he's seen the wolf. There was
better gimmick, the wolf or the cannon in Columbus?
I think the wolf. It's more unique.
The wolf. The wolf's the best thing in hockey.
I'm a part of the wolf
the best
community
in-game
now.
Thing in hockey is the Sudbury
I like
wolf.
The beam, and I like the wolf.
Yeah, it's your thing. Now
what
I know what to get you for Christmas next year.
What if they lit the beam up, and it was like... You know, on Batman, they have the bat.
Yes.
It was the wolf.
Ooh, that's actually pretty good.
Free marketing, Sudbury Wolves. Anyway, had a blast. Go to a Sudbury Wolves game if you can. Big upset for the boys.
Any other highlights from your holidays?
Highlights from my holidays. Yes, Justin, the highlight of my holiday. Oh my God, I can't believe we haven't talked about this yet. I get a little ding on my phone and I flip it over and there's a text from Charles Davis. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was there, Ailish.
I know. I had to rub my eyes because I had been, you know, sleeping and lounging and moving from one couch to the other couch.
Right.
Just gorging on sweets. Who knew if I was in a daze or not? But yet, Charles Davis texted you and I multiple times, may I add, on Sunday, December 25th, on Christmas Day. He texts us, "Thank you for being so great to me. I'm appreciative and grateful for the two of you. Here's to continued success for the two of you and your tremendous show. It's fun and it's smart sports radios. Kudos. P.S. No more table diving, young lady, or I'll have to cross the border." And he used an emoji. So Charles is an emoji guy. So we learned so much about him. And then once again, he texts us yesterday.
You have to scroll so far because the conversation was
and we both responded and we were very sweet back and he responded again. And anywho, he once again texts us on Sunday at 7:20 in the morning. So he's thinking about us bright and early.
That's early.
"Happy New Year." I was not awake at 7:20 in the morning on New Year's Day. I'll tell you that. "Happy New Year. Special treat at my game today. The great one will be in attendance. If I meet him, I will go total fanboy." Crying, laughing emoji. "Question. Outdoor rink. Group of kids playing. Shinny is the game, correct? Need your expertise. Hope I'm on the right track. Thanks, CD."
So we're his go-to now for hockey information, which is great.
Oh, my
God.
Now,
do you feel like you could now just text Charles Davis?
I felt
like in April, you're just like, oh, something funny. I wonder if Charles will find this.
I don't know. I think we need more than two texts in our thread from Charles before I'm like sending him a message.
So far, one person in this conversation has initiated twice.
Yes. But
it's going to, I don't know when we can initiate.
It's funny because on Christmas Day, I was out for a walk and I passed a street called Charles Street. And I thought, well, I'll take a picture, like a selfie with Charles Street. And maybe one day I send it to him. And I thought about sending it to him on Christmas Day, but I'm like, we haven't texted.
You don't know the number yet.
I didn't have the number yet. Actually, Danielle had told us what the number was, but we hadn't established a text relationship. And he texted first, so then I did send him the selfie with Charles Street, and he was very sweet. Anyway, so highlight of my weekend was probably that.
Charles Davis text. And you didn't even listen to, like, I had him on with Haley on Friday. You didn't listen?
What? I felt a bit sad,
left out,
and jealous, so I didn't listen. I knew it was at 9 a.m. because I asked you, but I couldn't do it. But you know what, we'll have him on Friday. I can't wait to connect. That was probably one of the highlights of my holiday, and of course spending time with my loved ones, my family, shoveling tremendous amounts of snow. I will say I have a petition we should have for the Apple Watch community, because there is no Apple Watch workout for shoveling snow, and it should certainly be an Apple Watch workout.
Didn't you have a reading?
I had to use other.
Okay, but there's no way. It was like you burned 850 cows.
Yeah.
There's no chance.
I'm not kidding around.
Shoveling snow.
It was wet,
I know it's
heavy
Northern
snow.
Ontario.
Yeah, and I did my driveway, helped a neighbor's driveway. I was a good community member.
I think Apple Watch is giving up bad information.
It wasn't 800 either, okay? It was up there. But
it was a lot.
Maybe because I'm out of shape and my heart rate was high, okay? Don't shame me for being portly over the holidays and eating disgusting amounts of baked goods. Anyway.
It was the baked goods?
There was a lot of consuming, and yesterday I got on the Peloton. It was rough. So we're getting in a fitness groove here, Justin and I.
Good.
We're going to hold each other accountable.
That's what the holidays are for.
Anyway, so highlights were Sudbury, Charles, food, and family.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time off.
Yes. I'm sure you would like to share some of yours. Or?
Oh, I thought you might have asked.
Yeah, would you do?
No, everything was good. You know, a lot of driving, a lot of family.
It is a lot of driving,
isn't it? Love seeing people. Love how happy everyone is over the holidays.
Did the storm that we were trying to miss on Friday affect your plans?
The storm was fine.
Okay.
The storm was fine. No issues. We got home from that Friday show. No problem. But it was great.
Yeah, my travel was delayed one day because I had to go into the eye of the storm.
You
and
were
so
the
I
one,
pushed it one
yeah,
day.
You had some concerns.
Did you see Buffalo and like the lakes and all the craziness. Yeah. It's wild.
It was no joke. And now we got nothing.
Yeah, now, so my mother has completed the knit scarf for you for the snowman, but we have to delay it because there's not a lick of snow out here.
I mean, it'll
happen. Convenient.
We'll get
for
snow.
You. No, I look next week it's cold and it's going to be snowy, so get ready.
Yeah, we need some stability. The one thing I don't like about, I don't know if things are really, I don't, you know, global warming's happening, obviously. I don't know if it's changing it that much, but we're just up and down. Like, that just gets some consistency would be nice. Just like a -5 to -10 for a couple months. Let's get through it.
Chill a bit with that.
We don't need +5 and wet and just gross.
I would say I wasn't prepared. I went up to Sudbury with like my parka and it was +8 on one day. And all the snow melted the day after I shoveled it all, of course. So I didn't have the appropriate coat.
You definitely should have looked forward.
Well, it would have been icy and wet, so I had to, anyway. Okay, the Wake and Rake, Leafs and Blues in action. Leafs back at home when they've been historically just dominant this season at home. The Blues are rolling into town shorthanded. They're missing a couple of their dominant players, so Leafs are pretty heavy on the money line, -265. On the puck line, -105, so potential there. And the over-under is only set at 6, and I think we have a lot of text line submissions about hitting the over tonight.
Well, I'm going to get out in front of that and take the over as my pick for the Wake and Rake. I just think with the state of the Maple Leafs goaltending right now and the state of their, like, you know, they're going to score goals. I think the St. Louis Blues are in a, you know, they're normally an under team, if you want to categorize them as that, in which they can kind of slow down and trap up the opposition. But Jordan Binnington's been a mess. Whoever the Leafs are planning to start, you know, I think they're trying to get back into the rhythm that they found within the first few months of the season. I think if it's Samsonov, which it very well could be, he's been very shaky lately. So whoever's in net for the Leafs, I think St. Louis can get a couple, but I think we can trust the Maple Leafs to score 4 or 5 goals tonight. For that reason, over 6, -105. That's my pick for today.
Okay, we might be doing a same game parlay for the Wake and Rake. So let's read a couple here. Ron and Markham. Good morning. Welcome back. Not sure if the Wake and Rake is happening today, but wanted to start up by sending our prayers to DeMar Hamlin and hoping for the best possible outcome. With that said, we hope you all had a great start to 2023. For my anchor pick, I'm going to take the over 6.5 in Buffalo, Washington. With Ovi on a man on a mission these days, both teams can light up the back of the net. Juliana, fresh off a double OT by her Warriors, is going to keep it simple and take the Leafs to win on the puck line, -105. With all the injuries to the Blues, it looks like it should be an easy one for the Leafs.
Well, if we're charting out a game script, if we're taking the over, the Leafs to win by 2 goals, that seems to make some sense. So I'm definitely interested in that. For the Sabres and Capitals too. I mean, those are over teams.
That's right. Tage Thompson and Ovi.
The Capitals just put 9 on Montreal over the weekend.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
Ovi hat trick, was it? Or
I'm not sure.
Oh, didn't Ovi go take a photo with the Habs moms afterwards? Did you see that?
I did see that.
I love it. I love it.
Full game.
Rob from downtown, Mr. Over. Bet the Leafs and St. Louis on the over. With how hot they are and how not hot the keepers are, it's a lock.
Yep, that's where I'm at.
Okay, Adam in the truck, good morning and happy new year, Rakers. My Maple Leaf pick for tonight is Michael Bunting power play point at +285. The second power play unit has looked great on their limited time, but we all like a juicy power play points to boost parlays. Also leaning on Alec Tuck, anytime goal with Buffalo at +190.
I like that number on Michael Bunting. He's been pretty influential on that 5-forward power play. It's not my favorite thing in the world because I don't know if Bunting's skills are more important than a defenseman's skills when looking at like the long-term viability. But Bunting is playing net front. It's got to go to the net for them to score. I think Bunting is a decent play at that number.
Okay, 2 more here. Matt in Toronto. Well, guys, it's a new year and a new opportunity to burn some money. All I wanted for Christmas this year was a 3-game parlay win, but the mean old elf gave me coal instead. I'm officially a Grinch for 2023. All of my picks this year will have put me on the naughty list. Okay, holy puns. Put all your Christmas money on the Sens puck line. Santa gave Columbus coal this year, too.
Yeah, Columbus is down bad.
They're in the Bedard hunt.
They are in the Bedard hunt. I worry that they're not quite bad enough. Columbus is one of those teams stuck. But maybe they get lucky. I mean, they did just get Johnny Gaudreau, who hasn't changed their fortunes at all. I don't know if I'm ready to bet on the Ottawa Senators yet.
Who's the worst team right now in the NHL?
I think Chicago officially.
How about Lightning on the puck line? Because Chicago probably just watched Bedard go off last night, and they're like, no, I'm not interested.
Do you think the players actually believe that, though?
No.
Like, I just think Chicago's organically bad enough to lose by two against the Lightning, but it's like minus 135 on the road, puck line.
You're right.
Again, the choice
is
yours.
No, I just meant I looked quickly at the worst team. Okay, actually two more now. Eric from Burlington. Good morning. Happy New Year. Give me the Leafs tonight. That should be a W, but also give me the Stars. Stars game should go over as well. The Stars can score and the Kings can't save anything.
Yeah, that's set at six right now. Over is minus 120 where I'm seeing it. I don't mind that either.
All right, last one. Tyler from Peterborough. JT over 3.5 shots on goal at plus 140.
JT, as I mentioned earlier, a little quiet over the last month.
Okay.
I think, you know, the power play stuff still tends to go through him a little bit. He's playing a little higher in that bumper role. I don't know. Is that a priority? The second line hasn't been great at 5-on-5. I mean, it sounds reasonable, but I just feel like, for me, shots, crapshoot. Like, what necessitates that John Tavares will get?
All I do is go look at his recent pucks on net, and I'm he does it.
Like, I get it for someone like Ovi. I get it for someone like Mitch Marner on a streak. I get it for, you know, a player where there might be, like, a lot of focus on them scoring goals. Connor Bedard's going to get a lot of shots, guess what, in the semifinal. I don't think you can bet on that, though. I just don't know when it's going to be a Tavares score shot night. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to be a Tavares goal night. I don't know if it's going to be a good night for Tavares lately because that second line hasn't been that good.
Well, I also thought, I did a little research tonight, Matthews is 1 point shy of his 500th career point. So he's going to be hungry to get that. He would also be the fastest in franchise history to get to 500 NHL points. So tonight, back at home ice, he's been red hot. I think that looking at a point or two from Matthews would be a good play. But I think I'm going to do Leafs on the puck line. Couple submissions as well that like that, so I'm going to add that as my wake and rake. And I think
okay, so the over and the Leafs by two.
Yep, I think I'm liking Ron from Markham with the over in the Buffalo Washington game.
Okay, let's do it
because we've loved Tage Thompson. He's on our little Mount Rushmore. Ovi's been Ovi, and so over 6.5 in that game seems like something that we could bank on.
I like it.
Get it, bank.
Let's stay somewhat hot. Did we cool off after 12 days of inaction?
You cooled off with my. Anchor, I mean, with our pick aside, so we got to flip the script here. It's a fresh slate. We're undefeated this year. We have 100% success rate in 2023.
Can you have 100% success rate?
But we haven't
lost.
Our average is undefeated.
Yeah, but if you're like, if you haven't played a game, you're 0-0, you don't have a success rate yet.
But you're like 1.000.
Are you 0.000?
Whatever, Justin. I'm trying to give us a little credit.
Either way, we should be positive. We had a good week coming out of 2022.
Let's keep it rolling.
Have a good week going into 2023.
Okay, our wake and rake is over six goals in the Blues Maple Leafs tonight, Leafs on the puck line, and over 6.5 in the Sabres Washington Capitals game. That's plus 511 on your first wake and rake of 2023. Mm-hmm. It's been a great show. We're happy to be back. We hope you all had a happy holidays and a happy new year. And we'll be back tomorrow morning on a little short week. So maybe tomorrow's like kind of almost baby Friday.
We're almost there.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.